Well, hey everyone, how are you doing this morning? Yeah, so far so good. You know, all of you braved this weather and got here today, so I think all of you get extra heaven points. I think that's how it works. And so, now don't challenge my theology on that. Like, I don't need to get emails. That was a joke. And man, the first service, they just laughed and laughed and laughed. And so, no, but I'm so glad that we're all here together. And it's really fun as we begin this series called Advent, The King is Coming. And, you know, it's actually fun to kind of, you know, borrow and look into other traditions that churches have carried on for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we get to experience that together as a church family. So we're going to have a lot of fun in this series. And each word or each week, we're focusing on a different word. Can any of you guess what today's word is? Hope. Yeah, I wonder how you figured that out. But you know, today we're going to talk about hope. And then next week, we're going to talk about love, how Jesus is a king who brings love to the world. Then we're going to be talking about joy, and then we'll talk about peace. And then the last week that we come together, or the last service we come together, it's actually going to be Christmas Eve, where we talk about how Jesus is the light of the world, that he's a king who brings light. And if you're wondering, hey, when are we going to do Christmas Eve? This year we figured we would do it on Christmas Eve. And so that's when we're going to come together. And so I want you to make sure that you know that we've got three different services that day. We'd love for you to attend and be a part of one. And you might even have family or friends that you've been looking for an opportunity to invite them to church. Well, this would be a great time. It's a great time to bring people and gather together. And so we're going to come together as a church family to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And so we hope that you put that on your calendars, and we'd love to see you there. But that will be the culmination of our Advent series. And so it's this incredible thing, and man, as we get into the Christmas season, I just love Christmas time. How many of you are with me? You love Christmas time? Yeah, all right. Anybody excited about Christmas? All right, three people, that's great. Everyone else is like, no, that ended years ago for me. Hopefully we find reasons and times to be excited about Christmas. Sometimes it can be difficult to be excited about Christmas, but I don't know if you remember what it was like to be like a really little kid. Maybe a few of you are in here that are little, but man, when I was a little kid, I just remembered the anticipation and the excitement that would come. Because, you know, the word Advent, it's this idea of waiting, this idea of an arrival. And there's like waiting at the DMV, or there's waiting like waiting for your gift on Christmas morning and just being able to finally open that thing up and how excited you can be and so filled with anticipation for what that moment is going to feel like when you finally open it up. And so there's just this childlike wonder that can come with this season. And sometimes it's hard to keep that going. Sometimes it's hard to hold on to that. And, you know, another word for that kind of anticipation is the word hope. And, you know, this morning we lit the prophet's candle. And in the Advent tradition, the prophet's candle symbolizes hope. And there's a reason why. See, it was the prophets in the nation of Israel that kept their hope in the Messiah alive. It was the prophets who kept declaring to them that there is a Messiah who is going to come and deliver us. And, you know, there's this Christmas carol that I just love. It's one of my favorites. And we sing it a lot. Most years, you've probably sung it yourself. But sometimes we don't stop to really think about the lyrics that it says. And so here's how the song goes. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Well, actually, it's more like the Son of God appears, but... Man, what powerful lyrics, right? Think about what this song is saying. These are people who are in exile. These are people who are mourning. And just to kind of catch you up on the history of that, under King David and King Solomon, the people enjoyed incredible prosperity. You know, Israel was at peace with all of their enemies. King David had conquered all of the lands around them, all of the enemies, and King Solomon carried on that peace. And so the people, I mean, it was one of the most powerful nations in the world at that time, maybe the most powerful. And then some things started to happen. The people started to not obey God and his ways, and the kings began to turn to other ways, other faiths, other ideas. And what started to happen is the kingdom became fractured. Things started to fall apart for Israel, and because of that, their enemies saw an opportunity, and they swooped in. And all of a sudden, this nation, This nation that is meant to be there as a symbol and as a testament of God's people and his ways, well, all of a sudden, all of that came crashing down. I mean, just imagine. Imagine your homeland being invaded, your places of worship gone, your literature gone, your scriptures gone. Potentially your family broken up and spread across this new empire, serving these new masters and these new people, not even maybe knowing where your family is. Everything that you had known before, the freedom that you had enjoyed is just, it's gone. And you're living in exile. You're living in darkness. And then a prophet comes along and says, hey, there's reason to have hope. Really? There is? Because I don't see it. And then they say, well, someday a Messiah is going to come and deliver us from this. Now, to the people of Israel, that wouldn't have been such a wild idea because they knew. I mean, their whole faith system was built around this idea that God is a deliverer because they knew that when their ancestors were enslaved in Egypt, that God delivered them from that. He brought them through the Red Sea. His power and his might delivered them. His mighty hand brought them out and delivered them from their enemies, vanquished their enemies. So they knew, yeah, God can do that. That's right. And so it ignited something in them. But then imagine that you tell your kids, yeah, there's this Messiah who's going to come and deliver us. And then they tell their kids. And then they tell their kids. And for hundreds of years, prophets keep coming along to say, yeah, we can have hope because a Messiah is going to come. And yet he still hasn't shown up. And for hundreds of years, the nation of Israel waited for a Messiah to come. And he did. See, we know that Jesus came, that he came in the form of a little baby, born of a virgin, and that he lived a life of, you know, pretty humble means. And then he started this ministry, and he died and he rose again. And so the Messiah came, but he didn't come the way that people expected him to. They expected a military ruler to come and deliver them, and yet he came as a humble child. And what's interesting is during his life on earth, there is a moment where Jesus actually declared who he was to the people as he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And so I want to go to this moment in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus declares to the people who he is. So in verse 16, it tells us this. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. So this is where he lived growing up as a kid. Then he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So this is a powerful moment where Jesus actually reads some of these words of hope from a prophet, from the prophet Isaiah. And the people knew, because for hundreds of years they'd been holding on to this passage, that this passage was about the Messiah. So Jesus reads it to them. And then he looks at them and says, "This is fulfilled today in your hearing." Now the people knew that he was actually declaring himself to be the one that this scripture was talking about. And if you go on in the passage, these are people, a lot of them had grown up with Jesus. A lot of them knew who he was. So they're like, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Like, who is he to start talking about how he's the Messiah? He's a carpenter's son." Because again, they expected a military ruler. They expected somebody who was going to start a revolution and dethrone their enemies and bring glory back to the nation of Israel. Now, of course, we know that is Jesus. Someday he will come riding a horse, and he will take out all of the enemies, and he will restore God's kingdom to earth. But in that time, he was there to be slain as the Lamb of God. And people didn't recognize him. They just didn't know, because it was actually the people of Israel that demanded he would be crucified. So even though he declared to them who he was, a lot of them still just could not recognize that he was actually the Messiah that they had been waiting for. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a moment or a season of waiting, a time where you're praying and you're calling out to God and you're asking him to move and you're asking him to do something, and it just seems like he's not showing up the way that you thought he would? You know, Jesus, in that moment, he declares to the people that he came to bring good news to the poor. I don't know, have you ever been in a season where you feel poor, maybe financially, maybe even relationally or spiritually, where you just feel like you're just so lacking? And you pray and you ask God to provide and to bring abundance, and he just doesn't answer the way you thought he would. Or maybe you've been in a season where Jesus declared that he came to bring sight to the blind, and sometimes quite literally healing eyes. But also there's moments in life where we're just confused. Life just feels confusing, and we don't seem to know the way forward. We don't seem to understand what it looks like to take the next step. And we ask God to bring clarity, and yet he just doesn't seem to answer us the way we expect him to. Jesus also declared that he came to set the oppressed free, to set the captive free. Maybe you've been in a season of life before where you just feel bound, maybe bound by addiction or even a relationship or just a situation that you feel like just isn't going to change, or depression, you know, something that's just holding you back and holding you down, and you're praying, God, just bring freedom. Just free me from this thing. And it doesn't seem like he answers the way you expect him to. See, there are these times in life where we are in a waiting, much like the people of Israel. And we feel like we're in captivity and we're exiled, and we're praying for God to move. And sometimes he's moving and he's doing exactly what we're praying for, but he's just not doing it in the way that we expected. He's just not moving in the way that we wanted him to, because we say, God, we pray with these specific outcomes. God, I need you to do this thing. And he's like, well, I'm actually doing this thing. And this thing is going to lead to your freedom, but you're so focused on this. And so sometimes we're in a season where we feel like we're waiting and we're praying and we might not recognize what God is doing. You know, just a few short months ago, I was in a season where I had to figure out, what does it look like to keep the flame of hope burning bright when my circumstances aren't lining up? And it was a really odd season. My wife was actually pregnant, and that was a good thing. We were excited about that. But then she got really, really sick with this pregnancy, to the point that she had to be on special medication. And there were some days where she had to be in bed for over 20 hours. And so I just remember being like so overwhelmed by taking care of our household and trying to keep everything with my ministry job going as well. And the congregation I was overseeing at that time, we were in the middle of a building project. We were renovating the space that had been donated to us, and we were raising money to make that happen while we were building. So it was really an exercise in faith. And not only that, but in the midst of that, we saw this opportunity in our community to house a homeless shelter in our building. And so we were also establishing a homeless shelter. And so there's just a lot going on, a lot of meetings to go to, a lot of details to oversee, a lot of things to manage. And I was involved in all of it. And it felt overwhelming. And also in that season, our church experienced a couple leadership changes, and some friends of mine that I had been doing ministry with and doing life with, they were moving on to new kingdom assignments. And as excited as I was for them, I was also just mourning. It was difficult and hard to see these friends move on. And then, you know, new people came to take their place, but I didn't have the same context with these people. We hadn't covered the same ground. And so, just relationally, it was difficult. But even just, you know, practically, it was hard to catch them up on everything that was happening. And just before this season all hit, my mother had passed away after being sick for a long time. And I felt like I still didn't even have room or time to grieve. And so all these things just kind of hit me at once. And I just remember the circumstances feeling so overwhelming. I mean, there were days where I just didn't even want to get out of bed. I don't know if you've been there before, but there were days where I was like, man, if I just stay here under the covers, all that stuff out there doesn't exist. And yet the truth was, there were still all these things that had to be done. And so I'd get up, and some days there were setbacks. I don't know if you ever experienced that before, but you're like, all right, I got my day planned out, and you muster up just enough energy to be able to get through it, and then something sets you back. you know, some plan or some project. I don't know if any of you have ever been project managers in here, but apparently projects don't always go to plan. I learned that in that season, and there was just days where I was like, God, what does this look like to keep moving forward? What does this look like when I'm praying for you to move? Sometimes my prayer sounded like, God, why is this all happening right now? Like, really? This too? Sometimes my prayer sounded like, God, I have no idea what it looks like to move forward. I have no idea what it looks like to actually live in this. And so I need you to help me figure out what it looks like to keep hope alive. And in that season, I felt like he led me to some really practical things, some things that really helped my soul and really helped me move through a season. And the Apostle Peter, in one of his letters, he actually lays these things out for us really well. In his first epistle, it actually is it's the same place where he talks about how we have a living hope. And we read about that just earlier. But in that season, I had to figure out what it looked like to keep the flame of hope burning brightly. Because if you look at a candle and you look at the flame of a candle, you got to think, what keeps that flame going? Well, it needs oxygen and it needs an initial spark. But it kind of needs a state of protection. Because if there's too much wind or if there's something that comes as resistance to that flame, it'll snuff it out. And so in that season, I had to really ask God, what does it practically look like for me to keep that flame burning brightly? And as we look at the Apostle Peter's words in 1 Peter 1, he starts off by saying this in verse 21. Through him, meaning Jesus, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now I'm just going to stop there really quickly. Because as you look at those words, sometimes we can just move past these ideas so quickly, but we have to remember that our faith and our hope come from God and God alone, that we can't put our hope in anything else. We can't even put our hope in the things that God can do, because sometimes we get so focused on that that we lose our focus on who he is. And so our hope actually comes from God himself, from God alone. And we have to remember that because sometimes we can get that a little bit twisted. And that has to be the foundation for what it looks like to keep that flame of hope burning bright. But then Peter goes on in verse 22 and he says this. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Now you might not look at that and think that sounds super practical, but there's some really practical points that Peter is making there that I think we can still hold on to today, here in America in the 21st century. See, in that season where I was having a hard time figuring out what it looked like to keep going, one of the things that helped me was to just simply obey God's word. You know, Peter talks about that, and I had to figure out what that looked like because there were days that I didn't want to obey. There were days that I just wanted to be like, you know what, whatever with all this. But the word tells us that we have to do everything as unto the Lord. You can't whatever to the Lord. And so I had to figure out, okay, what does it look like to actually do things unto the Lord? And so there were moments that I didn't want to figure out what it looked like to obey his word, but it brings so much life when we do. And it would fix some of the issues just by going, you know what, God, I'm going to obey your word and just trust you. And so that's one of the ways that Peter tells us we can keep that hope alive. Another way that he says is that we need to be in community. We have to love one another deeply. And in that season, man, I cannot tell you how important it was to keep brothers and sisters in Christ around me, people that I could be honest with and just go, look, today's a hard day. I really need some prayer. I had some brothers in Christ that I would meet with regularly, and we were like, hey, nothing's off limits in these times. Like, we can ask each other whatever. We can tell each other whatever. So we would encourage each other, and I needed that encouragement. But sometimes I needed to get challenged. And these brothers would challenge me, and it was so good for my soul. And we also had a small group that my wife and I were in, and that was such a good place for us to just be able to come as a couple and just be with other believers and just talk about the challenges that we were all facing and pray for one another, lift one another up. And then also my staff team. You know, it was really important for me to be honest with them of where things were at and how things were because I didn't want them to feel like they didn't understand what was going on. And so whether the project had a setback or whether I was just having a difficult day, I would tell them that and I'd ask them to pray. Because that's where our hope is pointing ourselves towards God. And so that community really mattered to me in that season. Not only that, though, but Peter also says that we've been born again through the Word of God, this enduring Word. And so I actually had to figure out in that season, what does it look like to meditate on God's Word? Because I'll tell you what, we have an incredible gift in God's Word. There have been seasons in history where people couldn't even access these scriptures. There are places in our world right now where just to own a Bible is a capital offense. And we have such access to this Word. You can go to a store and you can choose which Bible you want to buy. You can download the Bible on your phone and read God's Word. And so in that season, I knew it wasn't that God's Word wasn't available to me, but I had to figure out what does it look like to meditate on His Word daily. And of course, I would open the pages and I would read, but sometimes there was a moment or a passage or a scripture that would just reach out to me. It would just stick out. I'd say, you know what, God, I want to meditate on that. I want to know what you have for me in that Word. And one day as I was reading the Psalms, this idea of His love is something that doesn't fail. Because it says, I trust in your unfailing love. I said, man, Father, how true is it that your love never fails? When other things are failing around me, your love doesn't fail. And so I would go on these walks. I would just walk around my neighborhood for a half hour, and I would just go, you know what, Lord, just speak to me. I'm just going to meditate on this passage as I walk, and just talk to me about it. And it was so powerful. It was so good for me to meditate on His Word. And so sometimes we find ourselves in a season where we're trying to figure out how to keep that flame of hope burning brightly. And we're praying and we're saying, God, will you move? And sometimes we have such a specific idea of what He needs to do. Because here's the interesting thing. In that season, I was praying, you know what, God, just bring me through this season. And He was actually doing something else I was completely unaware of. Because it was in that season that I was praying. And one night I felt like just this thought came to my mind. It felt like it was from the Lord. Look for a teaching pastor position in Wisconsin. And I was like, that's weird. And so I went to my wife and I said, hey, honey. So I was praying. And that's how you always have to start those moments, because otherwise you just sound crazy. So I'm like, hey, I was praying and I felt like God said to go look for a teaching pastor position in Wisconsin. What do you think about that? She goes, that's crazy. I'm like, I know. She's like, there's nobody hiring a teaching pastor in Wisconsin. I said, I know. But I felt like that's what He said. She's like, well, I'll go look it up. And so I went online and I typed in teaching pastor Wisconsin, and Christ the Rock came up. And that started a process, and I think obviously you know what happened. And so, so that was a way God was answering my prayer, and I had no expectation of that. And so sometimes God surprises us with what He's actually doing to bring hope, what He's actually doing to answer the prayer. But to keep that flame of hope burning, those are the three things we can do. And I'm going to bring up a slide just to remind us. We can obey His ways, we can be in community, and we can meditate on His Word. These are three practical things that we can do. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, those things can be filled with life, and they can help keep that flame of hope burning brightly in our souls, no matter the circumstances, no matter the season we're going through. Because here's the thing, sometimes we're going through a tough season. Sometimes the holidays can be a tough season for some of us. You know, earlier I was like, hey, who's excited about Christmas? Some people can say, man, it's actually really hard for me to get excited around the holidays. You know, sometimes we go through a season where we literally feel like the Israelites. We feel like exiles. And in some ways, we actually should. Because we live in a really unique season of history. See, the Israelites, they were in this season where they were waiting for a Messiah that they had never met. And yet, we have understanding of who that Messiah is. Because of His Word and because of His Spirit that lives within us, we understand who this Messiah is. We don't understand everything about Him, but we understand who He is and what He came to do. And so we actually have this hope in Him. And so we live in this unique season of history where God's kingdom has already come, but it's still coming. That Jesus has arrived, but then he left, and He's going to come back again. And so we live in our own season of waiting. We live in our own season of being exiles, because we're citizens of another kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. And so we're sons and daughters of the King, and so this world is not our own. It's not our home. And there's something in our soul that recognizes that. And as we walk in this exile, as we walk in this darkness that's in this world, and yet we're people who are filled with light, what does that look like? And we keep our hope in Jesus, in the things that He does in our life right now,
But we also look forward to a future hope because Jesus said certain things and he said that he's going to do what he was going to do. And so we point ourselves to a future hope. And sometimes in the church, we don't talk about this very much. We don't always talk about the day that the Lord comes back. Well, we might mention it, but we don't have a very vivid picture of it. Sometimes we picture, you know, angels with harps on clouds, and I don't know that that's always really helpful. But the scriptures actually give us such a vivid picture of the hope that we have in Jesus, this future hope. And so I want to turn to Revelation 21, and after I take a drink of water, I'm going to tell you what it says. See, you feel that anticipation, that waiting? That was intentional. Okay, so here's what it says, Revelation 21, the future hope that we have. So he says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. But I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" See, we're not people who wait without hope. We're not this people who wait like somebody would wait for an elevator or wait at the doctor's office or the DMV. No, we are people who are filled with incredible anticipation and hope for this world that is to come, this kingdom that is coming. Because we look around in this world and we know that things aren't right. We know that there's darkness that shouldn't be here. We know that there's pain that we experience that we shouldn't. We know that there's tears that we cry that should have never been shed. But there will be a day. There will be a day when our Savior comes. There will be a day when he does away with the old order of things and he will make all things new. There will be a day where he wipes every tear from our eyes, where he does away with all of the pain, all of the suffering, where death will be no more. There will be a day where heaven and earth meet together as one and stay that way for the rest of eternity. There will be a day where we see our Savior face to face and we will laugh and we will dance and we will sing together. There will be a day when all that is wrong will be made right. And we will be with God, and he will be with us. There will be a day. And we hold on to that hope as his people. We hold on to that hope as citizens of his kingdom, as his sons and his daughters, because that is our actual home. And so as we pass through this world and we experience the trials that come with this life, when we recognize the waiting and the longing that we have in this season, we realize that there will be a day when all of our desires and all of our hopes will be fulfilled in him. There will be a day when all of our fears will be washed away, and it will just be us and God, his love, his people, his beauty. And so we have this incredible hope that we have in him. But until then, we keep the flame of hope burning brightly in our lives. The Holy Spirit helps us. And we keep our eyes on Jesus and we do those three things. I'm going to bring that slide back. We obey his ways. We figure out what it looks like to be in community with people like this. And we figure out what it looks like to meditate on his word every day. So in this Christmas season, I hope and I pray that we would be people who would lean into keeping that flame burning bright. I would hope that we would be people who would figure out what it looks like to be filled with anticipation and hope for the things that God can do in every moment of every day, but also for the full coming of his kingdom, where he will establish his kingdom here on earth and be with us forever. Amen? Amen. Now, before we're done here today, I want to read one last scripture over us. I'm going to read it as a benediction. And I actually read this over us a couple weeks back, but I want to read it again. Because this morning, maybe you're saying, you know what, that flame has all but burned out in my life. There's just a dry, cold wick sitting there. And I haven't experienced that hope in a long time. And I want to say that this morning, you can actually pray that God would reignite that flame. And I promise you, he will. And you can see, even if it's just a small light of hope burning, that does so much against the darkness around us. And if you need prayer for that today, I would invite you to come up later and just let somebody pray with you and be with you in that. But for some of us, we might say, you know what, that flame has actually been burning pretty bright lately. Man, praise God, that's awesome. Pray and ask God, what would it look like to share that hope with people this holiday season? Not to fix everybody's problems, but Jesus, what would it look like for me to share the hope that you've set inside of me with other people that might need it this holiday season? So wherever we're at this morning, I pray that these words would just meet you and encourage you today. And so it says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that that would be true in us today, that we would be people who overflow with hope in you. God, that wherever we're at this morning, that we would see that flame of hope ignited and that it would burn bright in our lives, that you would help us to see what that could look like practically in our lives, but also that we would trust in you for the power to do it. Lord, that we don't do this on our own, but we do it by your power and we do it as part of your body, as part of your people. Lord, as we meditate on your word and figure out what it looks like to obey your ways and live life the way that you did, Jesus. And so this morning in this holiday season, as we look forward to Christmas, may it point us to the greater reality that we look forward to the King who brings hope, that someday you will come and fully establish your kingdom and that hope will reign for all of eternity in you. And so we thank you, Jesus, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.